I think pop stars right now are about culture and like what people, the communities that they build. Right now in music, it's an exciting time because more unique people are breaking through to do great things.
Know what you want to do and just be so strong in your vision. And I think just really like go hard with who you are. Don't be scared to be like silly, to try things, to make wild videos and go all the way.
I was always someone who kind of was like, I want to be in Madison Square Garden in a giant outfit and selling it out. And like, that was like my childhood dream.
I feel like there's a lot of space for so many different kind of stars right now, and that people are really rooting for people that like are a little different that we haven't seen before. And I think that's so important.
Hi, my name's Matthias, and this is V1&O, the podcast where celebrities get cerebral. If you're new here, welcome. Please subscribe. If you have been here before, then you know the format of our show. We invite on a guest, we ask them what's something you really want to learn about, and then we pair them with a specialist on that subject. So we have episodes with King Princess learning about extraterrestrials, Phineas learning about gun control, Zara Larsson learning about the history of contraception, and more. If that sounds good to you and you haven't listened to them yet, wait, today is the first day of the rest of your life, so it's time to turn things around. Speaking of change, on today's very special Pride episode, we're shifting gears and instead having two guests learn about their shared experiences in music. So, on today's episode, our guest and Pride cover star, Kim Petras, joins Uffy to discuss the shifting archetype of pop stars. A pop star is technically anyone who makes pop music, but there are pop stars who make music that doesn't sound like Britney Spears or Lady Gaga. And then there's also pop stars who do make that typical pop music, but well, it never gets popular. So there is no strict formula to becoming a pop star. And that's what makes it exciting today, when the industry and consumers are making more and more space for pop stars of different nationalities, ethnicities, sexual orientations, genders. You can be a hologram and be a pop star these days, I mean, really. But how are pop stars finding their fan bases today? And how has that changed over the years? Do we have enough respect for pioneering pop stars like Madonna? And how does one balance being successful with doing whatever the hell they want artistically? That's what Kim and Uffy would like to know. Originally from Germany, Kim Petras is a pop star whose music is particularly popular within the LGBTQIA+ community. Statistically speaking, if you enter a gay club, there is a 100% chance you will leave having heard one of Kim's songs, such as the banger Sex, 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 or Treat Me Like a Slut. Maybe not 100%, but you're gonna hear a Kim Petras song if you go to a gay club, for sure. And as a transgender woman herself, she's obviously a part of that community from the get-go. Not to say that she doesn't have plenty of fans outside of it. Uffy, on the other hand, is a French-American singer, rapper, and DJ whose debut, Pop the Glock, made her the it girl of fashion and nightlife back in the 2010s. She remains a fixture on mood boards for singers across the globe, both pop and not, and has also just released her sophomore album, Sunshine Factory. Enjoy the show.
Hi, what's up? I'm Kim Petras. I'm a singer, songwriter, and bitch, and here we are.
Hey, I'm Uffy. I'm a singer and songwriter.
I mean, first of all, I'm a huge Uffy stan, so I'm really grateful to be sitting here with you. I have so many questions I want to ask you because I legitimately feel like so many of your songs inspired me so much.
Oh, and thank you so much.
Like, taught me about like what I like in music, and yeah, like you've definitely shaped music that me and my friends listen to so much. So I'm such a fan.
How did you two first meet, actually? Because you've met before,
at
right?
A heaven party, I want to say.
Yeah. I think at a heaven party. And then did we go to like Oil Can Harry's or something?
No, we were like randomly both there. Yeah, that was right before it shut down.
I know. Such a shame. It was the best place. Yeah, but
so
I remember that night, and like I'm such a fan. So I think I asked you a couple of things already. But then we talked about your daughter and about your life and songwriting.
Powwow.
Yeah, and like you are friends with a bunch of my friends, I think, too. So it just like happened naturally, which is always sick.
all part of the community. When was the first time that you heard an Afi song? Do you remember? Like, what was the era? What was the vibe of your life?
Yeah, I mean, it was MySpace days.
The simple social media times.
Yeah, I was on my computer and, I mean, Pop the Glock was my first. Then I went on a deep dive and listened to all of your stuff, like, all the way up until now.
I mean, there just weren't, like, girls out there being bad bitches and saying what they wanted and, like, skinning their knees on stage.
Yeah, totally. And you were that. And I feel like then, like, a lot of people, like, took note and incorporated that from you. Like, you inspired like so many musicians to go into that.
You better know that.
But you better know that. Like, I still see like people referencing like your videos and your songs and like Afi.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like in the like sort of like pop star, pop music context, something that you guys kind of just have in common is like she was just saying, like sort of pushing what it is to be a pop star, to be a musician, or like you said, there just weren't other girls who kind of had like that attitude or anything when you came out. So I'm just wondering if like, I guess for either of you, but did you ever feel pressure to sort of be more like the sort of typical type of like pop star? Or did you always say like, I kind of want to push this and be doing my own thing and change it?
I definitely didn't, because I didn't like set out wanting to be a musician. I kind of was just hanging out with a lot of DJs when I was a teenager, and wrote a song and it did well on MySpace. So I was like, go to high school or party for a living. So I think that kind of like shielded me from that pressure and kind of coming from an underground community. Like when you were asking like what is a pop star, I think it's kind of taking culture or like the brink of culture that's just coming and like shedding light on that and just knowing your vision and being like a really strong, determined woman. Cause you know, like it's fucking hard out there. Like you have to have so much dedication to your art.
Also dedication, right? To like what you actually want to do.
Exactly. Like,
so
like,
I'm not a musician, so I can't say, but I feel like you have an idea of what you want to do. And then there's like a label or a person, like whatever it is, where kind of, it probably stays really hard to stay really true to your image.
Especially now.
Yeah. Have you like felt the same thing of just sort of, I don't know, being pressured to be a certain way or to be a certain type of pop star, and then you having to be like, no, this is the deal and this is what I'm doing?
Yeah, for sure. I think in general with pop stars, it's always like, oh, what are you the next off?
Right.
It's very famously just like the one thing, like there's like this one lane, and like, do you fit in either of those?
Yeah.
Or are you trying to create your own one, which a lot of the time is harder than to just like follow someone and like, oh, then people can categorize you and like assess you and your direction and like that. Yes, I've definitely felt that pressure to adjust for success. But I think really the people that mean something to me and whose music means something to me are artists who don't necessarily are the most successful ones. And I don't think that their music matters any more or less depending on success. So I just try to live by that. I'm just trying to be to someone what like your shit was to me in my bedroom, or that's all I try to care about. But yes, it is tempting, and people definitely want to categorize you, especially as a woman, as a trans woman, all of that stuff. I think people are definitely like, who can we describe you as?
Rather than just let
you be yourself.
They love to pigeonhole.
As someone who works at a magazine and writes and does a lot of like features and things, it's also even when we're doing headlines, everyone's very tempted to be like, Kim Petras, the next blah, blah, blah. Like it's always sort of this thing of like packaging somebody up and trying to relate them to somebody else to make it more processable or marketable or whatever it is. And that's just a really big part of pop stardom, I guess, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to get compared. Like, that's like, at least you're getting compared to someone, you know, someone cares to say something.
Who were some of like the biggest pop stars for you guys growing up? Like, who is sort of like your iconic pop star?
Definitely like Madonna is a huge one. You know, loved Elton John as well. Such a queen. But I also like really loved hip hop growing up.
Same.
Yeah, I loved Cher. Just because I'm a huge Cher stan. And Madonna. I mean, those are my two like queens.
Yeah.
Pop star wise, like I just think they broke so many barriers that today just like don't have any consequences of doing them. So it's just like I feel like we owe them a lot.
Yeah, and, it's true.
And I think a lot of people don't really care to dig into artists who have been around, and sometimes it's like upsetting to me. Sometimes like I just like when someone like clearly rips a Madonna song or a Cher song, and it's like, okay, everyone's like, no one is getting that the melody is literally a Madonna song. Like, come on.
You guys are gays,
you're supposed to know.
Yeah.
I feel like we as the LGBTQ community can do better and just learn more about Madonna.
And like, just have some more like respect. I think there's a lot of stuff that gets taken for granted now of just people assume something was always a certain way. I was going to ask about like, how has like the definition or what a pop star can be changed, let's say from like Madonna's time. But I think that's also kind of saying that you always had to be this sort of like clean cut, pretty pop star type of person. And Madonna and Cher were already pushing tons of boundaries back in the day. So it's not like they were very like sort of cookie cutter factory pop stars. And now that's changed. Like actually pop stars have always sort of been like pushing things and making a new norm, right?
I mean, I kind of remember like, because we're talking like back when Uffie, I listened to your music and stuff like that, like everyone was kind of really clean cut. And like, what I liked about you that was that you were not like, and what my friends liked about you and what kids at high school loved about it was that it was just like, fuck the bullshit. Like someone just says what we all want to say, you know? So I think back in those days, it was really cool to see people kind of shed that and not be fabricated and all of that stuff. And I think ever since then, I think people can be more out there. And I think it always takes someone to prove that there is a lane for then everyone to go into that lane. I think pop stars right now are about culture and like what people listen to them, the communities that they build and like all of that stuff is, I don't know, I think it's kind of like more fair now.
Yeah, a more even playing field.
Yeah, but I think that right now in music, I think it's an exciting time because I think a lot of people are around who've been doing it for a long time. And I think that more unique people are breaking through to do great things. And I think all that really matters is like the community that comes to your shows and loves your music so deeply.
And tell me if I'm wrong for you, because it was like a little before like Instagram and stuff in the very beginning, but a lot of building your own fan base just like on your own and sort of like whether it was MySpace or whatever, just sort of like engaging with people and doing all of that, where if somebody did really resonate with you, like you basically built your own audience and you didn't necessarily have to go to somewhere where they're like, we're going to market you in a certain way and like, but we own everything. Like I feel like both of you have owned it for yourself is what I'm saying.
And that also like gives your career longevity because, you know, a label can build you up and make you into what they think people like, but if it's not you and you're not connecting with your fans, like you're not going to have a long career.
Yeah.
And I think something cool with social media is it gives fans a chance to like have a look into the artist, what the artist wants them to see, their life as well. And it's kind of like made pop artists into like brand names as well in that sense.
But I think also like kind of made them a little more human.
Yeah.
Because like it's now it's like not just the glam shots. It's not just the album jacket. It's, you know, and like it's not just the profile pic, you know, or whatever. It becomes more about the personality and the person that you are and the artist that you are. And I think that's kind of an awesome direction for things to go into because like idolizing people is like amazing. And like I loved it as a kid. Like you have to have that poster on your wall. You know? But yeah, it's cool that you kind of get to share all sides of yourself because I think generally like very creative or artistic people, you know, like what they watch inspires them, what they read inspires them, where they go on a walk inspires them.
Yeah.
So you kind of get to share like your inspiration and where you get it from with your fans. So maybe they can get inspired by it too.
Yeah,
definitely.
It is really different. I mean, but I don't know how much it was like this for you before Instagram and everything where like an artist just didn't, unless you were like on tour, you just didn't actually have a lot of ways of engaging with your fans and whatever. And now it's like not crazy that a fan might DM you on Instagram and you'll reply or something. Like that just wasn't a thing when I was.
And you control that narrative more. You know, they could read about you in interviews, but that's kind of like what they chose to select. And this way it's very one-on-one and personal.
I agree.
If somebody were to say when it comes to pop music, and this is probably something you've had to deal with in certain regards where they don't take it as seriously as like classical music as like a really bad example, or they just think it's like it's more commercial or not as sort of artistic, that type of thing must happen a lot, right? So what is your sort of response to that typically?
Oof. Well, I think just like the last few years, like I always wanted to make gay club music. Honestly, I like grew up in a gay club. That's where I learned about music, all of that. And yeah, I feel like for the last 10 years, just like the slower and more depressing, the more likely it's going to get a Grammy and be huge, you know, and be like great music. But I listen to music to escape. I like loud, outrageous music and just like makes me feel happy. And I think sometimes people don't take you know, having fun in your music seriously. It's so necessary, and it's such a big reason why I love music. And yes, I love a ballad. Like, I love a good slow song. Like, everything is valid and stuff, but I do definitely think that people are waking up to fun is okay. And I think especially with TikTok, where music is going with that, like, people want to have fun, and people like insane songs, and people like the crazy stuff. Maybe things are shifting a little bit, and people are like, okay, music can be fun and be good music. Yeah.
And I actually find it a lot harder to write like a good happy song than to write something like very serious.
I agree, because like I always say, like, Tolkien, like, coming up with like Middle Earth, right? That's so much better than just like creating a world and language is so much cooler to me than just talking about there's a white floor and a microphone and I'm sitting here. Like, why does everything have to be so real?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, when you get into that like fun, dreamy world, like, you're curating an experience for the listener as well to like escape, which especially now is such an important thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not always like you have to be in a good mood to write a happy song and in a sad mood to write a sad song. Like, you can like challenge yourself to try to get out of whatever is going on in your head.
I think so. I mean, like, obviously it's easier if you're like in that zone.
Right.
But definitely.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, a lot of times I have a miserable day and I'm like, I'm going to write a like stupid song to make me feel
change
better.
Change the shit around.
Literally, like, just get together with your friends, pull up some beats and just do whatever comes to your mind, like the stupidest stuff. And then usually like I'm free again. Like, I can be like, okay, let's focus in, make a new song. But like sometimes I'm definitely in a rut and I'm like, I just need to like scream and holler and break shit.
It's funny to think of you like low-key semi-miserable and writing like slut pop or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, for sure. Yeah.
Do you feel like that's an album that somebody who's a pop star could have put out like 10 years ago, for example, or a body of work?
Yes, if somebody had the balls to do that. I mean, topic of Madonna, like, she did the Sex Book like what, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, and shit still now is so insane and people have kind of just forgotten, and for someone to do that now would be a completely different story. I don't even know if someone could do that now.
True, it's a different time.
Yeah, for sure. But I just personally, like, with slut pop especially, like, being trans, there's so much sex work and stuff like that, and I just wanted it to not be something embarrassing and to just make something that celebrates
it's
sex.
So
that's amazing.
It's so so good. I love
thanks.
It
thanks guys.
V1NO is sponsored by Yuke's, the one-stop destination for art and fashion. I love Yuke's so much, and it's not just because they were our first ever sponsor for this podcast. They actually have an amazing collection online. Head to yukes.com and see for yourself. I mess up on this podcast all the time. Some of it you hear, the rest of it you don't. That's thanks to Citizens of Sound, a one-stop shop we use for all of our podcasting needs here at V1NO. Citizens will help you with conceptualization, branding, production, editing, and distribution. So whether you're an artist, an actor, or you just think you have a compelling story to tell, podcasting might be the right route for you, and Citizens of Sound are here to help. Head to their website, citizensofsound.com, for more information.
Did you feel like with your music, the more recent music that you've put out, was there anything where there was like maybe a subject or something that you wanted to talk about in a song that maybe, again, like with your first album, you wouldn't have, and now you felt like this is something I feel like, you know, I can embrace more or whatever? Did anything sort of open up thematically?
Not really. What I was nervous more about is like being a bit older than I was in my first album and shifting perspective and worrying about, does everyone want the same thing from you? You know, you've got to create the world that you want to and have the balls, as you said, to live in it.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, most importantly is always to just like make the music you want to hear.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, I think everyone gets in their head too about all kinds of things and like trying to predict stuff. But I think a lot of times best to just make the stuff that you want to hear, that you want to listen to, that your friends want to listen to.
Yeah.
And then that's your judgment of what's good. Like, do I want to listen to it?
Yeah, exactly. Drive and blast it.
Hell
the
yeah.
Car test.
Blast that shit.
While you're driving around, just listening to your album.
That's the best part of making, of being in the studio for me, like the drive home.
And it's like
and
on repeat for like
it.
Fucking hours.
Yes.
Because
totally.
You also know that's how everyone else is going to be listening to it, right?
Yeah,
so you kind of get the like almost objective.
Hyped on it at first.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
We were talking, I guess, a bit before about whether it's a label or whatever you want to say, putting pressure on an artist to be a certain way, or like clean cut or whatever it is. But also because you both have established fan bases who now have like a certain expectation of like, oh, this is Kim's sound or this is Uffy's sound. Do you also feel a pressure from people? Because now it's like there's a demand. If you're a totally new artist, you can kind of do whatever you want. And now people are like, this is what I expect from so-and-so. So how much do you listen to that or not?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. Now it's like, it's interesting at the moment, I think, with TikTok. Like, I feel that people kind of have to have already a viral proven hit to start out as a new artist in a sense, or like at least with a major label. So that's kind of interesting because you are starting with what you want to make and then I'm sure like have those pressures, or like can be an established artist and not be able to put out a song if it doesn't have that viral content. So it's kind of like same situation, different walls.
Yeah,
I think everyone gets pressured from people around them on this is what I think will work. That stuff happens. I like to listen to like what my fans like for sure. And I definitely like sometimes I'm like, okay, this song is maybe a little bit like this. So this and this person will like that. But you know, you kind of need to prove to your label that you know exactly what you're doing and that you have the vision. And I think once you kind of rely on your label to do the artist work for you, that's when you're kind of in the pits and that's when people can control you because like, now this is working for you. I told you so. So do what I say next. Like, scary. So yeah, I just always like to encourage artists to kind of know what you want and fight for it. I mean, in any business situation, I guess it's just like you have to fight what you love and, and what you're passionate about and maybe adjust here and adjust there to please some people, you know,
or like little compromises,
you know. But I think in general it is up to the artist what you want your thing to be, and the second you let other people dictate that, then they kind of own your life. It's a trap.
But it's so it's interesting to like talk about it with you because again it is like really pop music, but at the same time you're finding a way to like do that without it being like where it's still very your own thing.
Dang.
Where I'm sure some people are like, hey, like they won't be able to like play this on the radio or something, and you're like, tough titties, like it's gonna I don't care, we're still putting out the song.
For sure. I mean, I've been for years just like, well, whatever, the gay club's gonna play it, like you know, like
and they do
and I'm really grateful and thank you to all the gay clubs out there. I mean, that I built before I went to a major label, which I'm with now, and I love Republic, but that kind of bought me freedom, that I had proof of concept, that people would come to my shows, that I could sell out venues, because there's people with giant songs who can't sell out a venue, you know,
right?
And for me it's always like I want to tour until I'm 80 with a cane and smoke a cigarette on stage
for that.
And I'm gonna be at yours and we're both gonna be with canes in Vegas with our residencies. It's gonna be great.
But I will be banging.
You better come.
That would be amazing. A joint residency of you two and your 80s in Las Vegas.
Selling out shows and stuff, that'll always encourage your label to be like, okay, we have to put something out.
Yeah.
This person just killed Coachella, or this person just sold out this. You know, that definitely helps. Building your own fan base is like really the shit. Then people can't really tell you shit if you do that.
And they always have your back.
Yes.
So again, because it's V1&O, if somebody wanted to be a pop star and start building their own fan base, like how does one actually do that? It's much easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much content now, which is amazing that it's so easy for everybody to get their music online, get it out there. But I think just building on that, like know what you want to do and just be so strong about that and your vision. And I think just really like go hard with who you are. Don't be scared to be like silly, to try things, to make wild videos and go all the way and just flood that.
Couldn't agree more. I definitely would always remember this day that I kind of decided I'm a songwriter now and this is my job and I'm going to treat this like a job and no one's asking me. I'm in the middle of nowhere in Germany, cows, grass, nothing. I was like, I'm going to treat this like my job and I'm going to run home from school and make 6 demos a day and this is my job and I don't care that I don't know anyone, but I'm going to write so many songs, like hundreds and hundreds of songs until I figure out how to write a good one. And it definitely sucked in the beginning, so don't get discouraged. My first songs I would never play to my worst enemy. Yeah, but you know, just kind of declare to yourself, this is my job now, or even try it on, you know, try it on, act like it's your job for a couple of months, see if you love it. But it takes hundreds and hundreds of songs to get good, or to, at least for me it did, for other people maybe it didn't, that's super lucky and stuff, but maybe I'm just stupid and it took me that many times.
No, you were also really young, you were learning anything that young, like it just takes a while.
Yeah, for sure. But like, get a keyboard, get a MacBook, start making demos, start figuring out how people make things sound good, what you like in music, what you don't like in music. All of those things are super important to kind of shape, you know, whatever you're going to become. But I was always someone who kind of was like, I want to be in Madison Square Garden in a giant outfit and selling it out, and like that was like my childhood dream. There's so many ways you could get there, like luck, like how do I get there? And I was just daydreaming about it, and the way I got there was to just like start at the very bottom and learn to write and learn to perform and perform in every gay club there is. Gay club, shout out. I love you guys. And, you know, perform in front of 5 people, see what that feels like. Perform in front of hundreds of people, you know, just really hustle and go for it. But all starts when you just decide, this is my job now. I'm going to sit down every day and treat this like any other job.
I think that's also part of why the topic of pop star was something that we wanted to talk about, because I do think there's this misconception of you show up into a studio, someone's like written a song for you, you just kind of like whip your blonde hair
and are
like
so
I think there's a lot of people who think you just kind of show up and then a single gets released a couple months later and then you're like a pop star. And I feel like for some reason with pop stars or pop music in particular, people want to take the artistry away from the artist, or they want to think it's not that much work and like kind of just think of them as a bit of a product. That was all your initiative and years and years and years of putting in work before.
For me, that kind of trope of like that bimbo who comes into like a studio and gets a song, like, is such a funny imagery that it, like Mariah Carey, like I feel, does that a lot. Like, she writes her shit, but she acts like she's just the hot bitch who came into the studio and somebody gave her a song.
Yeah.
You know, like I've always loved that, but it isn't like that. But I personally really like that fantasy of it that you dream of as a child. Like, this is what it must be like to be a pop star.
Yeah.
So I personally sometimes like portray that person.
You do a good like illusion of it, but it's not true. Like it's really your brain and your mind and your work.
Which I like. Yeah.
Is there anything that you can say has really changed? Like, I guess we were saying before, for someone like Madonna, they were already pushing boundaries. But what does feel very like present and that you can say, like, I don't think that was happening in pop music 30 years ago?
I feel like there's a lot of space for so many different kind of stars right now, and that people are really rooting for people that like are a little different that we haven't seen before. And I think that's so important. There's so much like freedom in that.
I mean, for me, it's like growing up LGBTQ. I love seeing Lil Nas X just being himself.
Yeah.
And I think as a kid, for me, that would have like meant the absolute world.
Completely.
You know, people were so closeted and people were so like not able to speak about that it was all just super straight, you know.
Yeah.
And all of it was just like every love song was about a woman and a man, and that's the way it was. And like, that's why, I don't know, I listen to drag queens, like I listen to Amanda Lepore music, I listen to RuPaul's music, I listen to anything that had anything in it that wasn't just that kind of norm, including Afi. Which, yeah, I think that's my personal favorite thing about music right now. It's just people are way more open to see people as just one thing.
Yeah.
Like Lil Nas X to me, like he's a great artist, you know, and that he's gay is a footnote. I think that didn't,
completely.
I think that didn't happen when I was growing up. I think that didn't happen 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Like it's a new thing.
I have very few straight guy friends, but the ones that I do have, it's cool to see them like listening to Lil Nas X and stuff. And they're not even thinking about it and they don't care. And I'm like,
it's about the music.
It's good music.
It's because it's good music.
Yeah.
It's really, really good music. And they still like him as a personality. But like, I'm 30 when I was even like 20. I just don't think that would be the case. I think it would be like, oh, that gay guy. And that's sort of how it would be. And now they're like, oh, it's Lil Nas X. And they just don't care. I don't know. That's so different. Like, my, again, my like straight brother is listening to Lil Nas X. I'm like, that's different. It wasn't that way before.
I know. No, it's awesome for sure. Like people don't even question it. It's
people
great.
Don't even question it. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything else in the realm of pop music, anything you guys want to ask each other?
How do you feel about TikTok and how important do you think it is to be an artist now?
I think TikTok for me is another way to communicate with fans, which is nice. But I feel like TikTok has brought songs to crazy heights that no one would have ever bet on radio or right. before TikTok. So I personally think it's definitely like now there's the pressure of doing the viral TikTok trend. Now there's like change and all of that. But also songs are popping up and going places that I don't think ever would have before yeah. and that kind of really controlled this is how to get on the radio or
right.
this is how
you can say what you want more.
Yes. And I think kind of TikTok gave people a little more power back to find songs and blow them up because mm-hmm. they love them. Yeah. I think it's just like a new thing that I personally kind of celebrate and I get inspired by sounds I find from there a lot of time.
It's made things also a little unpredictable because some stuff that's blown up on TikTok, yeah. you're like, what the fuck? And nobody would have heard that if it hadn't.
And like old songs.
Old yes. songs
back,
too.
That's
I
so
love
fun.
It. I love that
the Banga Boys one. That
yes,
was such a good
I know.
Moment.
I feel like a lot of these like classic songs that we grew up listening to and that were our shit, like this new generation is discovering it and giving yeah. us a new life. I don't know. I just hope that quality of music is going to just like keep prevailing, you know, every new generation finds these songs and knows this kind of library of songs and yeah. these are the best songs ever and they're amazing and I'm just glad people still like music because for yeah. a while it was like there's no money in music, it's all over, we're all going overboard,
yeah,
going home.
I think it's definitely been good overall for a lot of artists. Again, it's the same thing, like there's a lot of artists who blew up just because of TikTok. It's so crazy.
It's so
it's
crazy.
Democratized things a lot in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very interested in kind of that whole Ed Banger period. And I listened to the Ed Banger mixtapes and yeah. like I've been telling you I listened to Dismiss like a million trillion times because it's a great diss track. It's really, really good. But like, how did you feel in that kind of being a part of that when you were kind of like the only girl in there?
Yeah, the only girl. And I also was thinking yeah. about this the other day. I was like a minor traveling around with a yeah. bunch of older French dudes.
For sure. Like, yeah.
It was an interesting time, but I think Paris was such a small scene that everyone kind of knew everybody. It was just really like easy to connect. And like, I'm really thankful that I started music there because
yeah.
it's such like a great base. They were great humans. And it was such
amazing.
A fun, inspiring time for music, especially because that sound, like that second wave of French Touch, like
yeah.
reached the world.
It
and
did.
It was really exciting. And I think shifted music and kind of bridged that like underground and more mainstream moment. Yeah. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's sick. No, it's literally like, it's crazy how you really were the catalyst for it. Like the mood of everyone to really change. And like pop became very much like everyone was looking to you. And I know a bunch of producers that are like, yeah, Afi's shit inspired the shit out of us.
It was
you
about
know?
Fun.
And it still is.
Yeah.
And I still like think I wouldn't make the same music that I would have made without listening to your stuff.
Thank you.
I feel like your stuff bleeds into PC music.
And
like,
it's fun and groundbreaking.
Yeah. It's cool that you know that. You know, like I just always want people to know that they're fucking awesome, you know, and that they shaped so many lives and are like in so many people's just like books of references. I feel like as artists, that's kind of what we do. Like we just want to inspire people.
And I love how much like you know of the history of all the artists that you love.
Well,
and you're like an
I'm a nerd for pop and
love that.
That
she does her research.
Ed Banger and French, that time is still to me the coolest shit in the world. Like it's still the coolest sound. It's effortless and hot. So I have so many questions.
What would you wear to your Vegas residency at any
Okay. Shit. What would I wear?
Yes.
What if I like switch it up on people and I'm like in like a suit and
you would look good.
Going full Melena Dietrich. Yeah. I'll be like in a top hat and a suit. glittery cane. Go Liza.
You could do your birthday suit.
There will be no clothes.
That could be your biggest residency look.
I'll just be naked with a cigarette.
That is chic as fuck, actually. I live for that.
How about you? How about you?
Oh, now I gotta rethink it.
You're like Chanel.
A Chanel, like, Vegas feathery hat, maybe. But then naked, yes, yeah. You kind of gotta go there at that age. Try and walk in it and, like, pull off the stage.
Yes. Break a couple ribs.
Ooh. Keep it a little punk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm rooting for you both to have Vegas residencies. Like, so
will you be in
hardcore.
The front row?
I'll be in the front row like every single time. I'll move into that hotel just so
you
can
throw
go
us
down,
cigarettes.
Down. Throw the cigarettes. I will throw you like a martini somehow.
Yeah, perfect.
Just keep it going. Well, thank you both so
thank
much
you.
For doing
thank
this.
You.
It's been so nice to meet you both
Yay.
And talk to you.
So fun.
Thanks, V.
Special thanks to Kim Petras and Afi for joining us. We will be going back to our typical format with a new episode dropping every other Wednesday. I'm your host, Matthias. V1NO is produced by myself and Ryan Killian Kraus. Our editors are the good people over at Citizens of Sound. Thanks, and see you next time.